You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Jamie Jennings, and I am currently at Rose Rock Farm in Edmond, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, May 22nd, episode 3956, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Now, as you know, we're off for a few weeks, but we're thrilled to bring you some brand new one-on-one episodes. And today I have Leisha and Matt Gibson of Family Stone Racing. We'll get to the uninterrupted interview with them right after this.
She swallowed hard as they walked into the start box. She could feel his muscles tense under her leg. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have a great ride. She didn't have to ask. He galloped out of the box and across the field toward their first training level course. His ears pricked. Her heart pounded. He attacked each obstacle with confidence, clearing them with room to spare. A huge smile broke out on her face as she crossed through the finish flags. She leaned forward and buried her face in his neck. Their bond of love and trust blocked out all else. This love story is brought to you by Elevate. Research proven to have superior bioavailability. Elevate supplies the essential vitamin E often missing from the equine diet. Its all-natural formula supports healthy muscle and nerve functions. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
So Family Stone Racing is based in Oklahoma City. It's a family-owned and operated thoroughbred horse racing business, and it is managed by Note who I mentioned first, by Leisha and Matt Gibson.
It's fine. All out.
One of the things when I was putting this together, I Googled it, and what AI says is you are known for operating with love and plenty of treats. Isn't that crazy? Y'all put that in there.
No.
Because y'all do give lots of treats. You love it. Mostly racing at Remington and the surrounding tracks. One of the cool things about Matt and Leisha is I'm sitting here at their farm north of Oklahoma City, and out in their pastures right now is a bunch of thoroughbreds that are either retired or resting. So I guess one of the things I want to talk about first is, I guess, Leisha, do you want to tell how I met you guys?
Okay.
Let's see if you remember.
Well, I think I searched you online because I had seen that you did some training, and it was the Monty Roberts training, the gentle training. And I was really into that. And I wanted my husband, Matt, to go through your class.
Now, so you signed up for the class, you paid the deposit. And then you let me know that he doesn't know about it yet.
Yeah, well, it was a surprise. I was going to gently ask him if he would be interested, because he had talked about being interested in doing some training. I just didn't know if he would be interested in that particular type. So I just kind of sent him some information like, hey, check this out. This girl, she's a Norman, and I've read a lot about her. So if you're interested, like, she's got a class coming up in October. And
weird. Like, yeah, I'm just learning about this now.
Yeah, and the deposit was paid.
So. I love it. I love it. So did either one of you grow up with horses? Matt?
Not really. I worked when I was in middle school, probably. In the summers, I would go work on a ranch with a friend of mine, and we would ride cow horses, but that's about it.
Leisha?
I grew up with the same, just cow horses out in the pasture, and I ride a little bit, but never really a hands-on thing. It was something my mom had horses, and they always rode horses. So my mom actually used to do some bareback stuff as a teenager, so she was really into horses. So she had a couple out in the pasture that I would ride and get thrown off usually and be leading back from the pasture.
This sounds very Oklahoma-like. So I guess the next question is, how on earth did you guys get started with racehorses? If you just grew up with horses, it wasn't part of your life. It's not like a family run, you know, it's not generations of racehorse owners. So how did that start?
My dad took me to Remington Park on opening day in 1986, I think.
88.
And I loved it. And so we had been several times throughout our relationship, and a really good friend of ours, Kyle Crawford, he owned and had racehorses. He lives in Stillwater, so we would meet him at the track and so on. So after we bought this place, we had every intention of starting miniature Herefords. Our business is even called MLB Minis, LLC.
Oh, my God. That explains so much because I get – when you guys – I pulse their horses, their racehorses, and I get checks from MLB Minis. And I thought you guys were involved in, like, Major League Baseball. No.
That's for Matt Leash and
Matt Leash and our son, Bo, MLB.
I never knew that. So you bought this farm with the
intentions of having miniature Herefords.
Oh, yeah.
And I just woke up one day and I was like, we got a place for horses now. We could do racehorses. I'm going to call Kyle. I'm going to call my mom, my dad, my brothers. And we all pitched in and had had dinner with Kyle. And I think February of 2021 and in August of 2021, we claimed our first horse and been on the hook ever since.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So Leisha, Matt comes home and he's like, I know you wanted some cows. However, I think we're going to start race horses. What did you say?
Well, initially, so let's back this train up just a little bit further. He and I had went out to Horse and Hound Rescue to look at possibly rescuing an old horse that we could mess around with and get familiar with. And while we were out there, literally, there was an old guy there, and I'm thinking in my head, man, these guys are hot. I don't know. This is the right kind of horse for us. And the old man was out there. He's like, I got an old quarter horse at our house. You should come look at it. And we drove away after that without a horse. And I told him, I was like, we have no business owning thoroughbred racehorses. So fast forward, that was like the year before. And then we talked to Kyle. And so we started this. Without realizing how hands-on we would be.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you think I'll claim a horse, and turns out you fall in love with them and now they're all in your backyard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's really funny and probably the way you learned about me, Leisha, is I was doing a lot of the training for Horse and Hound, and I've actually restarted a couple of y'all's horses because when you are done running them, you retire them sound and donate them to Horse and Hound because you know they're going to get an education and a good home. So you trust that they'll be adopted out. And then I ended up with a horse. Let's see. How have I had Oplin? I had Legionary.
The Green Crusader.
The Green Crusader. Mazuma's come and stayed for some just exercise.
Did you have He's the Bomb?
He's a Bomb. No, but I, yes. Yes, I might
have. He was at Horse and Hound.
Yeah.
Yep. So we have all of this, and you've probably seen the horses go through, and I used Oplin in one of my courses, actually. So very familiar with him. And so that's cool that they kind of like created this relationship through Horse and Hound and through the racehorses and through Remington Park. And now, I mean, It's funny to me because meeting y'all, it is an outlet for a passion that I have that is unfounded. You know, I mean, I grew up in the city in Atlanta. Horse racing's illegal in Georgia. And then I moved to Kentucky and I got even more into it. But I grew up watching the racehorses too, kind of like you. Like, I was like, oh, I like this. And then I was telling Matt earlier, I said, I wanted, you know, we're talking about like what you want to be when you grow up. And I was like, I told my dad, I want to ride horses for a living. And my dad's response is, you're too big to be a jockey. Thanks, Dad. That's what I do. Suck it. But here we are. And it's given me a lovely outlet to spend time with your racehorses and get to see kind of the backsides. And you have a wonderful trainer. The point of this interview is I want to educate everybody on how it is to have racehorses and how, you know, you guys weren't born and you don't have generational wealth and you don't have all of that, but you are able to have this lifestyle and it seemingly anybody could be a part of it. So how did you find your trainer?
So when we had no idea where to start. My first call was to Kyle Crawford because his family was in it. since, you know, since he was a boy. And he told me on the first night, he said, there's three people I trust in the business: my dad, Scott Young, and my grandpa.
Okay.
And so immediately when we met Scott Young, we found out that the care of horses comes first, racing comes second. And that's something that we really fell in love with, because a lot of people on the outside, they look at horse racing of, you know, whether it be from illegal substances to being treated bad, things like that. And that's not the case. I mean, some of that goes on, but not with Scott Young, who we use. His care and the way they treated the horses, the way that he treated us, was something that we just fell in love with. And that's what we wanted to emulate. And so that's our goal here, is to treat them and love them and take care of them while they're here and while they're racing. And so that's how we got started. I mean, that's who he recommended, and that's who we've used from the start.
You say you care for them while they're racing, but I'm pretty sure I see some guys that aren't racing out in your backyard. So
yeah, they all get a chance.
Well, and that's the thing. And another question I have for you: what are some of the highs and the lows, with some of the best things about owning racehorses and some of the worst things?
For me, the best thing's the babies. Mm-hmm. We got, you know, a chance to breed and have our own. So seeing them come full circle to the circuit, it's really hard to watch them go after you've had them for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
To let somebody else take care of them and trust that they're going to be in good hands and be happy. That's the main thing. I just want them to be happy while they're doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So the hard part's letting them go.
Now, I mean, you still own her. So tell us about your baby that's racing now.
Well, we have our 3-year-old Cool American Babe. We bought her mom at a heritage sale, not knowing anything. I think I had said that morning that we weren't going to bring anything home.
But yeah, we took the trailer to the sale with us.
That tracks. Mm-hmm. I would never do that. That's so weird.
So we bought her mom just purely because I don't really know why. We were just living a little bit. And so that became her nickname when she was born, was Little Bit. Her official name is Cool American Babe. And so she was our first one born, which was like a year ahead of schedule for us. So we kind of just jumped in, and she has been absolutely everything. I think she was probably the most visited foal of 2023. You know, there were so many people that came out to see her. It was such a big deal for us and our friends and our family. And so for her to get into the racing circuit was pretty special. And then for her to get her first win, that was probably the highest moment of all of the races. And it wasn't even a big purse. It didn't mean anything to anybody outside of racing. But to us, that was definitely.
Yeah. I actually talked about that on this show, because we do a little thing at the beginning of the show called Daily Winnie, and it's like a little shout out. And so I gave Little Bit, Cool American Babe, mm-hmm. and Family Stern Racing. I was like, you guys, they were going to take the horse home, and then she won. Like, mm-hmm. it was so cool.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. One of your highs. What about you, Matt?
The same. When they win, it's a full effort by everybody involved to get them to the winner's circle, and that's great. And the hardest part for me is when you have to make the decision to retire them because mm-hmm. they're done. Fortunately for us, we haven't had to retire any because of injuries. They've been taken care of, and they've remained healthy. So when they don't do well, it's hard for me, because I know how much effort goes into it on their part, the trainer's part, the exercise riders, the grooms. You know, there's so much work that goes into it. So when they can't succeed or they don't do well, it's hard for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you want them to win, not only for the glory of winning, but also because that means they're happy and healthy.
Yeah.
You know, when they're.
And I should say, we learned very quick that we did not get in this to make money. And we learned very quick that we were not going to make money. And so now it's more just about the animal and the excitement. And when we have a horse running, we invite multiple friends and family up to enjoy that.
Well, you mentioned how your family is all involved. Talk about the name Family Stone Racing and why you went with that.
We went back and forth. So I have two older brothers and their wives. And when we started this, we each just pitched in some money to go claim our first horse and start this. we debated for a month probably on a name and what we were going to do and whatever.
Because each basically stable and owners have to have either it's their name or it's their conglomerate,
like
your LLC mm-hmm. stable name.
Mm-hmm. And we chose Family Stone Racing just to base it around my mom. My mom is much into these racehorses as we are. She's just at the age where she can't care for them like we can. But we based it around her because she's the Family Stone. And so we named it Family Stone Racing.
Love that. And your mom is just adorable. And
she's great.
Just as positive and upbeat and wonderful to be around. So let's talk in Family Stone Racing. I know you guys have I've been fortunate enough to go into your suite and watch the races from there. And what's amazing about that is all the winner circles photos and win photos that y'all have hanging on the wall. So tell us about some of your best runners. I mean, you talk about not winning money, but you do win races sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So what you asked about some of your best runners. Well, our top runners are Aradamina and Mizuma. But I would say that some of our favorite runners, one is one we don't have with us anymore, but our very first win was by Heroic Song, and we had claimed him, and then he wasn't in very great health, but Scott nursed him back, and he won his two races back. Those were our first two wins, and they were incredible because we had literally only been doing it for a month.
Oh my God, y'all were like, this is so easy.
We were so hooked. We went into the racing office and the ladies were like, oh, you guys are really lucky. This usually doesn't happen for quite a few years. And we were like,
whatever.
Piece of cake. So we got like hooked quick to that. And then I think that was just the catalyst that, you know, propelled us forward. And then we ended up getting Davina. We bought, his parents bought her at the Keeneland?
Keeneland September sale.
Yeah. No, excuse me. I mean, you're like, hold my beer. Let's go to Keeneland.
It was a phase accepted.
Yeah,
that's right.
October yearling sale.
Yeah. Okay. And they were going all out. And so we were watching it online and you know how they do the bidding and stuff.
Yeah.
And we bid on a few other ones too, but didn't get those. They went up into the 200,000s. You know, we just weren't ready for that. But
no.
Yeah. So that was exciting to get her. And she was the first one we got to name because she was a year and
funny,
a half.
Funny story with her. We had given Scott was there. We had given Scott a number. This is the number. Don't go over it. Well, the bid was $5,000 over that number we gave him. And we were all like, well, shit, we missed her, blah, blah, blah. And he calls me and he goes, I went $5,000 over. We got her.
So, yeah. Okay. Again, bringing this back, I would never go over my budget spending money at an auction on a horse. Uh-huh. Like, who would do that? That's crazy.
And yeah, we never even ran before. Didn't even know she could run.
Take the trainer. How old was she? A year and a half.
She was a year and a half.
Yeah, mm-hmm. year and a half old. Mm-hmm. And we brought her home. What, did we bring her right home?
She went straight to Ada. To Belen Quinones, who breaks babies for us.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. yeah. Then we brought her home, and that was exciting. So she was our first horse to ever set foot on this property.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. And we just pulsed her today, so she got her PEMF treatment today, so that's fantastic. So you've had Aradamina. I looked up on Equibase to see like who your top runners are, and that mare Aradamina is your top horse.
She's
the big winner. And then we've got Mizuma, who y'all know I love because he is a son of American Pharoah. How did you end up with Mizuma, a son of American Pharoah, in Oklahoma?
We claimed Mizuma in August of 2023 for a fairly decent price, and then you can go on Equibase and see what he's run out for us. He's been the best claim that we've had, but he's a really good horse, stone cold runner. He knows his job. Like you said, his daddy was pretty good. So that helps.
His daddy was all right.
That helps. And I think our third horse behind him is an Okie bred Ruby the Destroyer, who we got in a package deal. There was an owner that was heavily into racing.
That's a great name.
His ranch manager, a gentleman by the name of Jay Wood, has been in this business a long time. And Jay offered us his horses after his boss, Lee Young, passed away. And so we got Ruby in a package deal with a couple others.
Legionary
and Cha-Cha Dancer. And Ruby, she was a good little Okie bred runner. I think she's our third third top earner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Named after a dog that used to chew his shoes.
She was
named Ruby.
the Destroyer.
Yeah. The Destroyer. She was claimed from us. I believe she's still running. Last I saw, she ran in Fairgrounds a couple months ago. Yeah.
So there is a level of keeping track of your guys that may exit the stable, but the guys still follow the Green Crusader. No, not the Green. Who was the one? Bob White Bobby.
Yeah. Every horse that we've ever owned is still in my stable, even if
retired.
Unfortunately, they've been euthanized by injury, West Texas Rain. I still have him in my stable.
Yeah.
Even though he's no longer with us.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Well, he was a hard horse for you. And accidents happen even on Lane's End Farm, it's not his fault. So accidents happen and we're all not immune to it.
Yeah.
So it's just part of having horses is the ups and the downs. Now, what's interesting to me is that you're not like a businessman and you're like shuffling papers and, moving money around. You're like a salt of the earth. Tell everybody what you do for a living, Matt.
I work for Oklahoma City Fire Department.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Matt is a firefighter. And again, just one of those jobs that you're just out in the community doing it. And you would never see a firefighter be like, I bet that guy has racehorses.
Mm-hmm. I'm the only one that I know of on the department that has racehorses.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem very common. So what is coming up for Family Stone Racing this year?
So this year, we are starting our 2-year-old Sneak Peekin. So we'll see her race probably later this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue racing our 3-year-old until it might be her last year, but we're hopeful that she can continue. And then getting Davina and Mizuma back to the track, hopefully getting them safe and sound through this year. And then Davina might be our next breeding prospect.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. So,
yeah.
So
we've got Davina. Do you have now? I know you, Leisha. Do you have a baby daddy picked out already?
We have a couple baby daddies picked out and a couple names.
You already named the
foal. Oh my gosh. Yes.
The other day she said we should name Davina's first foal, name it Our Financial Mistake.
And there you go. Circling back, if you were to give somebody advice on how to get into this sport, perfect timing for that comment. Our Financial Mistake, running now. I can see her heading to the wire. So how can people get involved in the sport?
Well, get to know somebody who's been doing it for a long time and ride their hip. And then I would say the claim game would be a really good place to start and mm-hmm. find a few people to do it with you, because having one is fine. It's great. Easy claim. But all the bills that come with it, you need some help. You need to maybe spread that around. So get a couple friends. Find a nice trainer. Have them pick you out a horse. Go for it. Just jump in.
And I would assume that finding somebody who... When you're interviewing trainers, like I go to Scott's barn to work on y'all's horses. And when I go into that barn, every horse is head out, happy to see you, looking around. The stalls are so deeply bedded and always clean and the horses are happy. And then you can go to the next barn and it's not like that at all. So you want to make sure that you find somebody who's going to take care of your horses the way you would take care of them, or mm-hmm. you would want to take care of them. So
certainly.
Do your research, find the people with the best reputation.
Vet your trainers, go visit their barn, go visit their horses.
And if they don't have an open door policy, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that goes for any trainers, race horses, riding horses, starting babies, everything. It's too easy to be transparent these days mm-hmm. with you guys know I video something almost every day with all the horses that are with me in training, because mm-hmm. I feel like, first of all, proof of life. You know I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. And also, you get to see what I'm doing and kind of the order that I'm doing it in. So I think it's important to have a trainer who is very transparent and looks at the horse and communicates with you and is you guys talk to Scott all the time, you know? And one of the things I did YouTube, you guys, there's like a really cool video on YouTube of y'all in
really?
Scott's barn. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I think your mom was there.
Oh yeah. That was from Remington's, did a little
department
podcast.
Interviewed us 1 year.
So if you guys want to see what Matt and Leisha look like, just put in Family Stone Racing into Google and it'll, this Remington Park, YouTube video comes up and you can see them and Matt's mama, and it's so sweet. She's all like giving the horses cookies.
She just loves those horses. Yeah. She loves them so much.
Well, this has been fantastic. Do you guys have a website or anything, or just
we have our Facebook page,
Family
Stone Racing Facebook page.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's
so
about
you can and you can go to Equibase and you can put in Family Stone Racing and follow all these horses, Davina, Mazuma, and what's Sneak Peek in?
Cool American Babe.
And Cool American Babe. Those are the runners right now. So, well, guys, thank you so much for sitting down chatting with me.
That was fun.
And we want to start a GoFundMe for Jamie's pool.
They have a pool on their farm, y'all. I want a pool. I didn't know I wanted a pool until I got here. And now I want a pool. All right, y'all. Thanks.
Sick of fly sprays that smell terrible, don't work, and are full of toxic ingredients? Try Bye Bye Insects from Spalding Labs. Their science-backed botanical fly spray is effective, smells great, and is formulated for horses and people. Switch to a fly spray you can feel good about and keep the bugs at bay. Learn more at spalding-labs.com.
Thanks again for hanging out with me. If you're new here, be sure to hit subscribe as we have some other fun new one-on-ones coming up. Follow Horses in the Morning on any podcast player and have a great weekend. And don't forget, most importantly, spay, neuter, and geld.